because we are living in a chemical world, and I'm a chemical nondescript person. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl or boy. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical.
This is Chemical World. I am Kenna Crampton, and this is my co-host, Maggie Seldin, peer recovery coach for MindSprings Health.
Hey, Kenna, thanks for having me, as always.
Thanks for being here. We have a special treat for people today.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the underlying goals of Chemical World is not just to get cool information out there to the public, but also to highlight other members of the community and the work that they're doing or their stories with recovery. And so through my role with MindSprings, I've had the opportunity to network with a lot of amazing people out there. And I had the honor of sitting down with Arne Manconi, who is the new program manager for Garfield County Prep, which teaches comprehensive sexual health in our schools here in the Valley. And also Diana Andrews, who is the former program manager for Garfield County Prep.
We have a conversation recorded with the three of you, and the full conversation will air at the end of March. But we just took a clip of you and Diana having a conversation about sexual health in schools. And we thought that it made sense to air that here on Chemical World because sexual education is harm reduction.
Absolutely. And I just love the way you say that. And I think that, yes, this is the perfect platform to get this message out there because Chemical World, you know, we really focus here on our show with substance use and abuse, but that really intersects with so many other social issues. And it, you know, education, sexual health education, especially substance use is and should be a huge part of that. And how it intersects with mental health, behavioral health, physical health, you know, and then getting down the pipeline and into houselessness and incarceration. I feel like we just here have the opportunity to really bring a lot of different kinds of information to our listeners.
Chemical World is just, we want it to encompass so many different things and, you know, more than just substance abuse. But harm reduction is definitely one of our main focuses. And like I said, sex ed is harm reduction. And I was lucky enough to grow up here in the Roaring Fork Valley, and we have Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains here in Glenwood Springs. And that was just so helpful for me. I was able to start going there when I was 15. And I probably could have talked to my mom about what was going on with me sexually, but at that time in my life, that was the last thing that I wanted to do, was talk to my mom about it. And so Planned Parenthood was such a resource for me, as was you before I actually started going to Planned Parenthood. I definitely had to come to you with some now embarrassing questions. But, you know, we have questions. And when we, you know, like I've said before, I went to the Waldorf school. There was absolutely no sex ed there. And then I went to CRMS. And a lot of times, I mean, kids usually have sex ed in middle school. And so the high schools that I went to, that it just wasn't a program there. And I don't think that PrEP was around when I was in high school. But do they work with YAMPA now, Garfield County PrEP?
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge. And, you know, of course, things this year have been a little different. And there was the transition from Diana to Arne as that program manager last year. But they do teach in YAMPA and Bridges. And, you know, sexual health education has, yeah, clearly always been a huge, huge passion of mine because, you know, I think all of these questions that we have about sexuality and our bodies, they feel really embarrassing when we need to ask them. But in reality, these are questions that we all probably have at some point in time. They're all about totally natural biological functions and feelings. And so we, you know, working to reduce the stigma there too of talking about sexual health. And I think it's still, I see adults all the time who aren't comfortable talking about it, you know, and we need to be able to role model and have medically accurate information as adults so that kids can feel comfortable asking these important questions.
I totally agree. And like we've I have said on this podcast before, drugs are like sex. People are going to do them no matter what. The thing is people like to feel good. And so no matter what, they're going to seek out whatever it is that makes them feel good. But then on top of all of that, sex is so natural because it's how we reproduce. It's how we continue on living. And so we want people, we're going to do it no matter what. People are going to do it. And we just want everyone to be safe in whatever activities they're doing, whether it's riding a bike, we want them to wear a helmet, and whether it's having sex, we want them to wear a condom or use birth control or whatever it is that you need to do to stay safe.
Right. And some people, you know, can utilize abstinence, and that's great. But we want to focus on building the skills for if and when you do decide to become sexually active. Because, yeah, like you said, it's kind of the point of existence a little bit, kind of. You know, if you look at the animal world, we're kind of here to do a few things that we can't necessarily say on the radio, but eat, sleep, and procreate, right?
Yeah.
And though, yeah, I think it's worth kind of redefining, again, harm reduction, right? It is a concept where we strive to reduce the negative consequences of our everyday actions. I heard a great thing. Carl Hart has a new book out called Drug Use for Grownups that I cannot wait to read. But he had a live webinar the other day, and he was talking about, you know, all the people who die in car accidents every year, hundreds of thousands of people. But we don't outlaw cars, but we implement strategies to make driving safer, like speed limits and seatbelts and rear view mirrors and all these things, right? So we can't outlaw sex. We can outlaw drugs and forms of sex and all this, but it doesn't stop it from happening, and it increases the harm that could potentially be caused when these things do happen. So, you know, we should treat sex and substances just like we treat vehicles, right? These are things that a lot of people engage in, and they need to have the skills and the protection to do it safely, like condoms and like condoms.
So this is a conversation with Maggie Saldine and Diana Andrews, the former manager of Garfield County Prep Program. And now she's working on a tobacco prevention grant for Pickens County Health.
I'm so grateful that these two took the time to sit down and talk with me. I really feel honored that I'm being invited to have these conversations with these leaders in our community, and very excited to advocate for the work that they're doing.
Cool. Well, without further ado, here is Maggie and Diana Andrews.
My name is Maggie Saldine. I'm a peer recovery coach for MindSprings Health. I'm a certified Colorado peer and family specialist, and I'm also the founder and executive director of High Rockies Harm Reduction. So happy to be here chatting with you today.
I'm just Diana Andrews. I used to manage the Garfield County Prep Program, which is a comprehensive sex ed program for middle schoolers and high schoolers. And now I'm running a tobacco prevention grant for Pickens County Public Health here in Colorado, and I've done a lot of prevention work. I was an elementary school educator, and I also have a degree in aviation electronics, so I like to diversify.
Well-read resume.
Well, I would start off by saying sexual health education looks very different depending on where you are in the state, in the nation, in the world. When we talk about comprehensive health education, it's a little less scary, but under the umbrella of comprehensive health education involves sexual health education. And my usual retort is it's not a how-to program as far as the Garfield County PrEP program. It's a skills-based program that teaches kids refusal skills and how to navigate a healthy relationship where, as being sexual beings, sex will probably play a part at some point. And it's just, PrEP stands for Personal Responsibility Education Program. It's a federal grant that was given to states, and then states determined how that money was distributed. And here in Colorado, do we have 64 counties-ish? Only three counties received this funding. So only three counties are doing comprehensive sexual health education underneath the personal responsibility umbrella. What's happening in all the other counties could look very different. And even here in Garfield County, not all of our school districts have adopted this program. Not all the schools within districts have adopted the program. So it can even look very different at a localized level.
So you may not know the answer to this, but I know that Mesa County specifically is abstinence-only sexual health education. Do you believe that that is the majority of the state is more in those abstinence-only? I know it's very different.
If they're doing it at all.
Really?
So there's no guarantee. As I understand it, in Colorado, school districts do not have to adopt the national health standard. They can choose not to. But if they choose to adopt the national health standard, then they have to teach comprehensive health. And that's become even more defined with recent legislature that I'm not as familiar with because I was leaving my position as that was coming in. But it has to be comprehensive, which means they won't get funding for teaching abstinence only anymore, even though there's a lot of funding out there. There's no research that proves the effectiveness of abstinence only. And you will have people argue that abstinence only it's not inclusive. It does not teach to the LGBTQ, people who don't identify as gender binary. So you leave out a portion of the population, and those are the pieces of the population that are actually at a higher risk of unplanned pregnancy or STDs, and yet they're not getting the education they need to be safe, develop skills, and navigate their relationships in a healthy way if they're getting abstinence only.
And so to reframe a little bit too, because I know, you know, schools and counties can be very hesitant, but if they did choose to adopt these comprehensive sexual health education plans, they would receive more funding to disseminate those programs.
I can't answer. Okay. I don't know. Because I know in previous legislature, there were policies in place, but there was no funding.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what kind of funding there is now.
Okay. Well, and before we started, you said something about how it kind of helps sometimes to start with asking the question of what was your sexual education experience like? And I think about this all the time because I feel so, so lucky to have the experiences I had growing up here in the Roaring Fork Valley. I got HIV education, and I feel like I learned more as an adult about really how the education I received was a lot more thorough than many others. And additionally, I grew up in a family that was very open about talking about these issues, which is another huge stroke of luck because I've been passionate about being involved with sex education since I was 11. And I remember all my friends who were much older would always come to me with their questions because I had a mom I could go to with my questions. You know, I had people in my schools who I could felt safe going to both in primary and high school here in the Valley. And I went to college in Grand Junction, and just that concept of even talking about these things with your parents was, most children were like, oh yeah, I didn't have that experience at all. And then they have abstinence-only education. And so I just feel so grateful to have had that kind of open communication around sexual health. And I think that that's really what made me interested and passionate about this, because most people are not comfortable talking about these.
Well, and that's a huge key component of the PrEP program that maybe is under-discussed or maybe not understood by the parents and the general public, is having that trusted adult, whether we would want it to be a parent, but we understand that not all parents are in a place to be that trusted adult around sexual health. By having it be a normalized conversation where you can ask questions and not go to Google to find out the myths that are out there still, that is one of the biggest prevention pieces of kids not having to learn through experience or bad situations, is having that person to go to answer their questions, to be non-judgmental, to be value neutral. And of course, age appropriate is, you have to have it be age appropriate. But yes, you were very lucky.
Well, and I think it's, you know, even having those parents who are open to talking about it, it still can be really difficult for your trusted
Absolutely.
Adult to be your
yeah.
parent. And so it's good to acknowledge that, you know, that's a very broad term.
And you also even mentioned that, you know, older kids were coming to you for the answers. So even as frustrating as it might be when parents opt their children out of the education, because we're so passionate about what we do, we want kids to have this information, but we also have to kind of just remind ourselves they'll be talking to their friends who do have the right information. So that gives us hope.
Well, and
to
I think,
fill those gaps.
Yeah, and I think too in that aspect, and it's funny, it just came up to me while I was watching a show last night. They were saying something about how the schools pave the way for these kind of vulgar conversations or something like that, so that parents can feel a little bit more open having these conversations, because I think being able to support those parents, you know, whether or not they want their children having this education, they sometimes lack the skills to have these conversations.
Absolutely.
And one way or the other, they are the best people to go to. So if we can support the families to know the answers to these questions and how they can, you know, meet their own cultural anticipations and guidelines or whatever is comfortable for them while also providing their children with accurate education.
Well, and I think you hit on exactly why so many parents in Garfield County, after many focus groups and conversations in town halls, became accepting of this curriculum being in the schools, is having those conversations. Parents are nervous that we're teaching values. And so they admitted they don't have the medically accurate words and knowledge to answer their kids' questions, but they know what their family or religious values are, and they don't want that to be compromised. That's why being value neutral is so important. So you will see in the classrooms, when questions come up, because kids have the opportunity to put their questions into an anonymous question box, when it comes to be a value question, the teachers are trained to say, you know, some people will do this, other people will do this. You need to decide based on your comfort level, your religious beliefs, your personal values, what is right for you. And so once parents understood that comprehensive sexual health should be value neutral, now that is a skill, and it's not always easy to remove your values from something, but it's definitely something we work hard to achieve. So then there was that agreement. Values are taught at home. Medically accurate, age-appropriate information is taught in the schools. And the parents were sort of like, whoosh, thank goodness. And then we would get reports from parents that, wow, the talk or conversations around sexual health is much different than what I expected it would be, because the kids are sort of at a mature level because they have the mature vocabulary.
And I just love that focus on value neutral. And I feel like that to me is, when you describe it, it's like the golden thread throughout all of my kind of various careers as a health center assistant with Planned Parenthood, working in street outreach shelters in New Mexico, and as a job coach for Mountain Valley Developmental Services, and just all the places I've been, it's all about, well, I can't really give you advice on what you should do because everyone does it different. And that's specifically, you know, at Planned Parenthood, people always ask, well, what do? And how do you do this? And it's always, well,
how old were you when you started having sex? Well, we're not here to discuss my sexual health background,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, diffusing those, but at the same time, still finding the true question behind the question and giving them an answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to answer their questions, even if that answer is, you know what, I don't know the answer. Let's look it up together, or let me do some research and I'll get back to you. It's okay to say, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for listening to Chemical World. The full conversation with Diana Andrews, Arne Manconi, and Maggie Seldin will air on KDNK at the end of March. We will post something on our Chemical World Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter about the full conversation and when that will air. And the full conversation will also post on KDNK.org.
And don't forget to follow us on those social media outlets for all opportunities that we put out related to harm reduction in our community. Every first Friday, I host a Narcan training via Zoom at 1 p.m. And you can find the registration link for those Zoom events on both the MindSprings Health and Chemical World Facebook pages. I don't know if you guys know this, but it turns out I have, just by taking the initiative to get the word out there, become one of the lead Narcan trainers in the state. And so I'm also really excited that this Wednesday, February 11th at 3 p.m., I will be doing a Narcan Q&A, which will be kind of an open public forum style with my fabulous colleague, Raquel Garcia, who is the founder of Hard Beauty out on the Front Range. And so you can find that event on Chemical World's Facebook page or Hard Beauty's Facebook page. Really look forward to seeing everyone at these events. If you are ever interested in other training opportunities, have questions about any of the topics discussed on Chemical World, or are interested in some peer support for substance use, please call me, Maggie Saldine, at 970-531-5060, or reach out to me at msaldine@mindspringshealth.org. And you can check kdnk.org for the spelling.
The next episode of Chemical World will air on KDNK at 4:30 p.m. on March 8th. You can listen to all of our past episodes at kdnk.org, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast. You can also rate and review Chemical World on Apple Podcast. It helps more people find us so we can educate as many people as possible. Our theme music is written and performed by Muggsy Fay, a.k.a. Maggie Saldine. And thank you for listening to Chemical World. And remember, you don't have to be sober
to keep your community clean.
Cause we are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl or boy. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical. If you have been using dope, there are lots of ways to get clean. Methadone and Suboxone can help you withdraw with no DTs. Drugs can keep your body well while we treat your mind with counseling. Suboxone can help opioid addicts and their families. Cause we are living in a chemical world, and I'm a chemical nondescript person. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl or boy. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical. Drugs may come and drugs may go, and that's all right, you see. Experience has made me rich, and now I can use safely. It might be beer, it might be dope, it may even be caffeine. But we all have a little something that keeps us on our feet. What's important is being safe and stopping the spread of disease. You do not have to be sober to keep your community clean. 'Cause we are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl or boy. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical, gender nondescript. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl. You know we are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl.